this new series is going to be powerful. It's going to be on the greatest one said amen. The next day, John 1:29, John saw Jesus coming unto him, and this is what he said: "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." Finally, verse 32, "And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him." Amen and amen. We're talking about the Lord's Prayer, and currently, at this time, this prayer is the most important prayer in the Bible for all mankind, given to all at this time. This prayer. This is not an Old Testament prayer. There's a vast difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we're going to touch on those things throughout this series. In other words, this prayer is for everyone on earth. This prayer is for every person on earth that wants a relationship with the Creator God in this present age. Now, let me make a statement to you. If you follow with me, you'll understand. All of the Old Testament prayers were for one small group of people. There were about one very small nation, the nation of Israel. But let me say, in the most powerful, coolest way, the whole Old Testament was setting the stage and foretelling of the coming of the Son of God to save the world. The nation of Israel, the best a person could do on earth before the dispensation of grace through Christ, is become a Jew and practice all the laws of the Old Testament. That's the best that you could do. The best that any person can do now, including the Jews, is become a born-again person, feeding on, studying the Word of God, and practicing all the content of the New Testament. We have to be careful with the Old Testament. The Old Testament was written for the Jew first and all the rest of us second. It established God on the earth in a covenant kind of way, okay? But you must understand, you have to move past the old covenant, the Old Testament, to understand the Lord and what's happening. Born again, studying, practicing all the content of the New Testament. That's what's important, not only to all of us all over the world, but the nation of Israel and the Jewish religion also. You can no longer be practicing the old covenant aside from Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter who you are. What matters now is that Christ has come. in the form of a little baby. He's come on earth. He lived. He taught. He healed. He prayed. And he died for mankind. And let me reiterate one more time. Even if you're Jewish, you have got to enter into the new covenant. This blood, this cup represents my blood, the blood of the new covenant. The new covenant was not only for the whole world, excluding the Jews. No, it's for everybody to be in fullness of God, to die and go to heaven. You must be born again. Now, how does that work out? What about when we go to people that have never heard the name of Jesus? In the old covenant or the new covenant, how do we answer that? I'm going to tell you something. God is God Almighty and there's none like him. He's always been here. He's God Almighty. And all I can tell you is this. He gives a little bit of alluding to Samuel. He said, you know, mankind looks on the outward appearance, but I look upon the heart. I am absolutely sure this side of the grave that God has never cheated anybody or ripped anybody off. And I don't understand all things. And when I say I don't understand all things, I'm glorifying God. And I encourage you, you best do the same thing. Because God is God. Do you really believe that people that never heard of the old or new covenant, that he's going to not let them into heaven? He's going to judge their heart. He's going to judge it to his standards, to his requisites, to what he believes, to what he knows. And there'll be people there that on the earth never even heard of Israel, and they'll be in heaven. Because our God is a kind and just God. According to Jeremiah chapter 17, all of mankind, their heart, the word says, the heart is wicked, terribly wicked. It's evil. Who can know it? And then the Lord says, the next verse, I try the reins of the heart to give every person. And while we're here, we best give all we have to finding out, is there really an eternity? That's settled for me. If I asked everybody in this room, everybody would put up their hand. They believe there's an eternity. And I'm telling you something. Like the Apostle Paul, I'm working out my salvation this side of the grave because I want to be with the Lord, God Almighty. We have no choice in this life but to have to take things. You know what faith is? You're just going to have to take God for what he says, the way things really are. Because some things, they're not very plain, are they, in this life? You know what? That's where faith is. Now, Christ, Jesus said this, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? If I'm here, he will. I believe in God because he believed in me when nobody else did. I believe in God because when nobody wanted to be my dad, not even my dad, he became my dad. I've known him since I was 19 years old. I've sinned since I was 19 years old. I think I sinned worse after I was 19, after I got saved. And he's loved me, and he's kept me, and he does what he did for me, and he does with me what good fathers do. He corrects me. Those that I love, I will correct. I will chastise. The word says in the book of Hebrews, and if you won't take that, if you won't let the Lord correct you, you're not in covenant with him. Your prayer life isn't guaranteed to do anything unless he's your dad. He doesn't want to rule over you as a god. He wants you as children. And he wants you to see things his way. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. He loves you. He cares about us with a love that's hard to understand. So great. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only son. You know, if I was put in God's place, I wouldn't give any one of my kids. I'm just being honest with you. That's not within me to do. I raised three children that were not mine by blood, but they're mine by spirit, and they're just as dear to me, and I love them. And all I want to do is try to help them. I certainly wouldn't sell one of them off. So, behold, the word says this. What manner of love, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, God has bestowed upon us that he calls us his children. He doesn't need a slave. He's not looking for a servant. He wants joint heir children with him. He wants a family. And you know, contrary to what you believe, and you know, if you go to a lot of funerals, I guess everybody's going to heaven. I wouldn't buy into that if I were you, because that's not what the Word of God teaches. Not whatsoever. You don't go to heaven by accident. You go to heaven by Christ crucified, working out your salvation, confessing your faults and your sins, forgiving others, letting people have the last word, turning the other cheek, walking by faith, learning and feeding upon the Word of God. Those are just the few things that makes a true believer that will leave this life and be with Christ in the next. There's been some people that I knew close enough that I knew they were born again. And I said to me, they were born again. I have been asked many times to say things. And you know what? I can tell you this. I said, I think you've misjudged me. I don't think I'm the right person to do this. Because I'm not judging them. But I didn't know them. And I'm not going to say those things. One of these days, people like me, I'm going to give an account of every good word and every idle word that I have ever spoken. Let me get behind this pulpit because I'm going to tell you, you look at me, so are you. We better watch what we say. We better make sure we are not heaping condemnation on others that will come back on us. Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The next verse, John 3:17 says this. For the Son of God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Jesus said in another place, I have an announcement to you. I haven't come for the righteous. I've come to call sinners unto repentance. And when you hear too many messages behind a pulpit and somebody's not challenging you to come to repentance, leave that place. It's not for you. It's the wrong place. God forbid that men and women of God would be afraid of people to the way they won't even speak the truth and give them a chance. I'm so excited about this study that's coming up. I've got a few more minutes. Turn with me to Revelation 20 and 11. Revelation 20 and 11. Chapter 20 and verse 11. The first time I read this as a person, it gave me chills all over. I still read it with great sobriety and gravity, realizing the implications of what's said here. Revelation 20 and 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on that throne, from whose face the earth and heaven had fled away, and there was found no place for them. And here's the verse. Lord God in heaven, think about this. What if this is the truth? And I saw the dead, small and great, before God. And the books were opened. Say with me, the books are going to be open. Listen, if mankind can document things to the T, what in the world do you think God can do? And I saw the dead and the great stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, whether they be good or bad. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. By the way, there is never anything in Scripture anywhere that says, well, death is a sweet, great thing. Death is described, Paul told the Corinthians, death is an enemy to mankind. It's the last enemy, and here it is right here, that will be destroyed. In the new kingdom that's coming, there will be no death. There will be no pain. There will be no regrets. There will be no tears. Just the bliss. The word says that in heaven, there's not even a sun or a moon, because heaven is lit by the presence of God. Heaven is lighted by his son, Jesus Christ. Just his presence being there. We have a form of gold here, but the gold that comes from heaven is pure gold. That's going to be where your feet walk in heaven, on streets of pure gold, pure bliss. And if you miss that, you will be in a place for eternity where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I would be an awful person if I didn't tell you that right now. Be sure, your sins will find you out unless you do something tonight about it. You've got a chance tonight during Holy Communion. Be sure, either in here or by remote, these words will come out. My servant Angelo, by the way, his name in the Greek language means messenger of God. He told you, be sure. Your sins will track you down. You better get a hold of it. You better get a hold of it. If there's something in your life that shouldn't be there, I'm not accusing, I'm preaching. For all I know, you can take these words to somebody else and you might save somebody's life. The ministry, to a great degree, has become afraid to tell people the truth. Afraid that they'll lose people. But the true ministers, they ain't afraid of nothing. You know what I know? Almost every prophet in the Word of God was killed. I'm still going to tell the truth. I really don't care who likes it. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to try to speak the truth as it says in Ephesians chapter 4. And speaking the truth in love. Receive that so that you might grow. Anybody that preaches out of this Bible should have one thing in mind: to inform, teach, encourage, and convict people. For God's sake, life is short. I just attended a funeral for somebody that I love deeply, that I'm 10 years older than that person. He's dead. I've never seen so many people die so young. Is it just me or a lot of people dying right now that we know? My God in heaven. Now, and death, hell, and the grave were cast into the lake of fire. And whoever's name was not found written, now listen to me, in the book of life. This is where I have to part from all the people that just want a full church and a full pocket and 3 or 4 airplanes. If your name is not in the Lamb's book of life, you will be eternally separated from God. And I've come to learn this. Ain't no beer parties in hell. Ain't no parties in hell. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27. The Word of God says this. When it says that book of life, what they're talking about, it's the right title for it is this: the Lamb's Book of Life. And it says in Revelation 21 and 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it, that beautiful city, anybody that defileth, neither whatsoever, whosoever worketh sin or maketh a lie, but they which are written, only they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. What would you give? What would you give to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? I look at the youngest person in here. You know what I know? I've seen people younger than that die. I don't understand. I've never seen so many people die in my whole life. I believe that Christ is coming soon. I believe we're about to hear that last trumpet. I believe and we which are alive and remain. Oh, can I tell you something? One day I was shaving it. Casey asked me, she was just a little bitty kid. Kelly wasn't born yet. She said, Daddy, she said, I've been thinking about what you've been preaching, telling people. Is Jesus really coming to get us? I said, well, yes, sweetie. And she said, but Daddy, is he coming to get all of us? I said, yes, sweetheart. And she kind of looked off and she said, you know, Daddy, Jesus must have an awful big truck. I said, sweetie, I don't know the particulars, but trust me, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, he's coming to get you. If you die before he comes back to this earth, the Apostle Paul made it pretty clear, to be absent in this body for a believer is to be in the absolute total presence of God. What will we do there? Well, we won't just be sitting there on a cloud trying to learn how to play the guitar. I can tell you that. We're going to be building new worlds with Christ. We're going to be governing new situations with God Almighty. And we're going to have praise and worship services where nobody can sit down. Where people are dancing. And we'll wake up and months will have gone by. We will worship the Lord for months and months. And you know why? Can I tell you something? Where we're going, there ain't time up there. There's no time up there. There is no time. It's gone. The opposite of time is eternity. Know those days when you feel really good? That's how you're going to feel all the time. You know all the questions that you had for God? You've got eternity to ask as many questions as you want. Is there a chair that I could sit down up there? I just feel where we with so many things. Could you get that, Dwayne? Just put it right there. And I'm going to share with you for a few minutes. We're going to a place where you won't grow old. Thank you, son. Give me your hands. Father, just bless Dwayne. I just release your power for ministry. Open doors. Open doors, the Lord said. I'm going to open doors for you, son. You stay close to me. You let me finish what I started in you. You'll have no regrets in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Life is deceitful. There are people all over this world that left their homes this morning. They were absolutely sure they'd be back by dinner time. They're dead right now. All over this world. I want you to see my goal is that you would see the Lord's Prayer like you've never seen it before. The Lord's Prayer is a new covenant outline of the way things should be in our life. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to challenge you to have seasons where you pray that prayer and make it very personal. You pray it like this. My Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done I've spent years asking God to bless my plans, never thinking to say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I don't want what I want anymore. Because, Father, on a good day, and I'm honest, I don't know what's best to ask for, except for one thing. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And pray it very personally. Now, when we're a church together, we pray it one way. But have you ever prayed like this? My Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me, let's make it personal. I dare you to make this prayer personal. No other prayer, it came from the mouth of Jesus Christ, is more pure, more right on. Give me this day my daily bread, and forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those that I hate, that I forgive them. Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but lead me not into temptation. Father, deliver me. Deliver me, Father. Deliver me from evil. Because, Father, the truth of the matter is, yours is the kingdom and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. I'm going to ask you to make an altar or come to the altar. I'm going to ask you to examine your heart. I'm going to ask you, you know what I'm asking you to do? Let this be another day where you're working out your salvation with fear and trembling, because that's what I'm doing.